Hello everyone, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to the channel once more. There was a horrific incident in Ukraine yesterday in Kyiv. That children's hospital was attacked, as 22 people have been killed so far, many more wounded, dozens wounded. It's likely that the death toll will climb because some of the wounded will probably succumb to their injuries. So it was yesterday morning about 9:52 a.m. Local time when the air raid sirens were blaring, and it went on for about 30 minutes, so people having to run to their bomb shelters. There were times when Kyiv went several weeks without a single attack. Kyiv itself is not attacked that much, but other cities are. And obviously, Russia has been pursuing this policy of targeting energy infrastructure. And not too much of a problem in the summer because, okay, there's long hours of light, you don't need that much heating, but they do have to have blackouts to prioritize hospitals. And Ukraine's largest children's hospital has just been hit. Okhmadit, I hope I pronounced that correctly, only 2 kilometers from the center of Kyiv. It is an utterly barbaric thing to deliberately target sick children. So not only are the children murdered, the doctors and nurses who could have saved other children later on, they've been murdered. A lot of the medical equipment has been destroyed. The medicines have been destroyed. It really is the lowest of the low to deliberately attack the most vulnerable, the most innocent of all, an object which has no military significance whatsoever. And that shows you how utterly atrocious, abominable, evil the Putin regime is. And it's not isolated as an incident. It's not the first time. They have not done this only a few occasions. They've done it on many, many occasions. There are scores of times when they have destroyed hospitals and clinics. So no mistake. If it was once or twice, this could have been incompetence. It's not carelessness. They know exactly what they're doing. And they pursued the same policy in Syria when they participated in genocide there to uphold the Assad crime family. So it shows you what sort of people that we're dealing with. And I'm not Russophobic. I'm not against Russians generally. There's some Russians I'm very, very fond of. I had good friends who are Russian, even people who are Russian soldiers whom I liked. I know that they're psychopaths and sadists in every nationality. I'm sorry to say, I sometimes wonder if Russia's got more than its fair share, partly because it's been brutalized by their own government for centuries. Like W.H. Auden says, and I'm tired of reciting this in relation to this war, those to whom evil is done do evil in return. You know, in the Dedovshchina, the soldiers in the hazing, they were so horrifically bullied, it zombified them and turned them into absolute beasts. So let out against the Ukrainians and incessantly bombarded with propaganda by Russian media, which is all state controlled, would say Ukrainian fascists deliberately slaughtered Russian children in a kindergarten, stuff like that. Now, I'm not saying that every Russian news report is entirely false. There are obviously going to be a few bad people on the Ukrainian side as well. Some of them are so incensed at these war crimes against their own civilians, they say, well, we're going to pay you back in the same coin. And things often go awry. These missiles, the drones, or whatever, they miss. There's collateral damage. You're attacking a legitimate military target, but within the blast radius might be some civilian building and so on. So civilians getting killed accidentally, or sometimes the military accepting as the byproduct of a proper military attack. Some civilians were to get killed, but this is not it. The target is the children's hospital that they were going for again and again and again. And they actually haven't even bothered with a refutation of this one. So still trying to dig people out of the debris. And it's just going to go on and on. And it emphasizes why they need air defense so badly. They've been pleading for more of these Patriot air defense systems, which are manufactured in the United States. So President Zelensky has often said they need at least 7, because the NATO countries all together have hundreds of them. If NATO were to give Ukraine 7 of these, it wouldn't even be 1% of all the Patriot systems that NATO has. Admittedly, a Patriot system costs over $1 billion. Now, I really don't understand the technical specification, but it's got various vehicles to whatever detect the incoming missile and then shoot it down and so on. And the missiles themselves they shoot are like cost several $1 million, blah, blah, blah. This would get a lot of these missiles. But the thing is, for Ukraine to solve the problem at source and be able to destroy the Russian missiles on the ground before they're launched, destroy the launches and so on, destroy the planes that fire the glide bombs, often from Russian airspace. Now, President Biden, a couple of months ago, he did say, okay, yes, you could use these, but only against military targets. You could use it in Russian territory, not just Russian-occupied Ukraine. And that has helped Ukraine a bit, but not enough. They need way more of this. And France, the United Kingdom, gave those Storm Shadow missiles a few months ago, which has helped quite a bit. And Germany should give those Taurus missiles. And then that would help things go well for Ukraine. So Russia's obviously laid such an emphasis on destroying this civilian energy infrastructure and terrorizing the civilian population to depopulate the Ukraine, to cause their morale to collapse, to terrorize them. The trouble is, if you are attacking them like this, does this really fill them with a terrible resolve, or does this make them capitulate? Well, there's no point in running up the white flag, because you know the horrors that lay in store for anybody who submits themselves to Putin's non-existent mercy, because there have been a number of massacres of civilians like Bucha. There have been a wide-scale horrific torture of prisoners of war and so on. Some of them being sentenced to death. Some of them been murdered in captivity. Those who have been sentenced to death have not actually had the death sentences carried out, so far as I know. So it is a very, very bloodthirsty and cruel regime we're up against. And obviously, people need to wake up to this. People are sometimes denying that. Just far more military aid should be given. I thought a country like Sweden, which is a NATO member now and borders only NATO countries, Norway is a NATO country, Sweden is and Finland's a NATO country. So Sweden's two neighbors. Even their maritime border is with fellow NATO countries like, say, Denmark, Germany, and Poland. So they could give half their military equipment, because NATO would come to their aid, just give it all the Ukrainians who actually need it now. Sweden, ideally, will never, ever need it. Sweden hasn't fought a war for over 200 years. Other things I thought, well, what if that Snake Island in the Black Sea could be leased to the United States for $1 a year? The trouble is, Romania also claims it. And then, you know, the US government pay Romania $1 a year if they're willing to go for that. And the United States or some other country who's willing to control it. And there, I mean, you could have your own anti-ship missiles, air defense missiles and whatever, anti-aircraft missiles and so on. And there's just a naval base there, even not fighting at all. It would deny the Russians could never, ever use it. But also you could intercept a lot of Russian communications and give the Ukrainians any other information, meteorological information or information about whatever Russian moves, all their planes or ships moving at sea. OK, maybe the Ukrainians can see this all themselves. It would really completely deny the western half of the Black Sea to Russia. I'm surprised Ukraine hasn't sunk any Russian merchant ships were exporting grain. Often it was stolen grain. You may think, well, if they do that, they might try and do it to our ones, which they haven't so far done. So, it's all quite dispiriting. The good news is the Russian ground offensive is going very poorly. It's obviously redolent of Ukraine's counteroffensive this time last year, when in over 4 months, the Ukrainians gained only 16 kilometers, and Russia, that they will gain something of the order of that. The difference is the Russians are sustaining very, very high losses. They can't continue at this rate of attrition, whereas the Ukrainians had to husband their troops precisely because they didn't have enough of them. The blindingly obvious thing for Ukraine to do is to conscript all men over the age of 18. That would be another 2 million men, 18 to 25, and they wouldn't have to worry about manpower ever again. Or should I say person power, because women could join the military too, but they're not conscripting females. And all these days with trans identity, if only males are conscripted, a man should just say, well, I'm a trans woman or something, and get out of it. But I think Ukrainians would not stand for any of that nonsense. And then they could release the older guys who desperately need a break. Their nerves are shredded. They've got post-traumatic stress disorder, shell-shocked, and just physically wrecked, mentally and physically exhausted. Sometimes the idea is to post them to the border guard. Border guard units fight in the Eastern Front, but so the border guard units, you know, in the west of Ukraine to try and stop people escaping. And that's obviously a very cushy number. People want to get posted there to rotate them if they can't actually have leave or go home, or be part of training battalions, be hundreds of kilometers from the front. And that will be a lot easier than actually being on the front line. Well, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. Goodbye.